Reading Revelations chapter 21, verse 1 to the end. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write. For these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a great reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length and is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no more night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
It's a wonderful book we have in front of us. In the Revelation, the Apocalypse, the unveiling of things to come. When I was reading this over and over and over again, I thought, well, what did I like to title my talks? And I titled this one, God Coming Home. Amen? God Coming Home. And it's got some wonderful themes in it. He is the beginning and the end. He is the church. Talks about the church, the birth, the bride, and the new city. And ever since the fall of man, which you read about in Genesis, God has been working towards this end. The great separation at the fall until the reconciliation. And that happened at the cross. And then the great consummation of everything, which we read here. So God, throughout the generations, throughout thousands of years, God has been working to come home here on earth. And it talks about the bride. He said he'll show them the bride. Now, you know, a Jewish wedding, not quite like ours, but generally speaking, it starts with an engagement. And that engagement is a contract made where the two parties in mutual agreement arranged marriage, but not a forced marriage, but an arranged marriage where the two parties consent and they are engaged and they sign a contract. And the next thing is, after that, the groom goes away for a period of time. And then during that period of time, he goes to prepare a place. He goes to prepare a home for his bride. And then he comes to take the bride to his home. That's the rapture. You read about this lots of places in the scripture, but there's a great place where Jesus is talking in John 14, where he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in me, believe in God. And he goes on and says, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'll come again. And from that time, you'll always be with me. And he's talking about a marriage there. And then after that, he comes to the bride's home. And that is a millennium where Christ comes and dwells on earth. It's a wonderful book, this book of Revelation. It talks about all these things. And he has a new city there called New Jerusalem. And this Bible, this book here, written through the centuries, is all about God's journey with his people. And he picks out certain people, starting with Abraham and then Israel. And now the church. But it is a journey that God has been making ever since the fall. And this, what we've just read, is the culmination of that journey. The journey is not finished yet. We're in the middle of it. And we can see that there are tears now. There is sorrow. There is pain. There is death. And we're not there yet. But if we had time, we'd have read the previous chapters. And it talks about the great tribulation that this world is going to go through. And many, 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 probably millions of saints are going to be killed. And that's why he talks here that in now there's not going to be any tears. They've been through the most awful time this earth has ever known. There's not going to be any sorrow anymore. And he reassures them they've come to God, the place of salvation, the place of safety, and there's no more death from now on. So God's journey with Israel, he shows it how he's progressing towards his end. He gives us glimpses throughout the scriptures what he's aiming at. For instance, you talk about Isaac being married, and it's all a great picture how he has to go and get the bride, or he didn't go, but the bride comes to him. And it's a wonderful picture all throughout the whole of the scriptures, God illustrating on this journey what he's going to do with the whole of his people. And it's all culminated in Christ on the cross. He takes his people from rebellion and brokenness, imprisonment, soul sickness, and every kind of sorrow you can imagine. And now he brings him to himself. And he's there reigning until all is going to be put under his feet as a footstool. Now this is non-negotiable. There is only one way which anyone is going to enter into this city, is through Christ. There's only one mediator, one Savior, one Lamb, one sacrifice. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's not negotiable with any other religion, with any humanism, or good works, anything like that. It's non-negotiable. It's absolutely only in Christ Jesus. The church now bears the image of God. And that's a tremendous thing for me to say. But each one of us have now, who have been reconciled to God, have got the opportunity of bearing the image of God on earth. And we are to portray, implement, be a witness of what God is like on earth. We are implements of his will, I've written down. Bible talks about how we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And that is because we are to be in touch with God. We are actually in communion with the heavenlies in Christ. But we're still on earth. And the whole point is that we might bring on this earth glory and praise to his name by his grace. And that is the power of God that must enter every vessel of his. To be his image is to implement on this earth, in these bodies, what God is like. The utter change which God can make in a human being. We live in the present, but we are light bearers of the future. We live in a world which is dark, but God calls his people the light of the world. And we look for a great thing to happen. And God, in his great wisdom and his mercy and his love, has written this book, Revelation. And what a huge hope this is when we read these verses when people of God are going through the mill. It's always been God's intention to come back to earth. And, Abraham expected it. And it says this, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Abraham was a pilgrim in a foreign place. And he was always on the lookout. Where is this city? This heavenly city. And he waited and he waited and he waited. And he traveled and he traveled in his pilgrimages, looking for this great promise of God coming to earth. A heavenly city whose God was going to build. God was going to put the foundations there. And it says here, God has prepared a city for them. And all these saints died without receiving the promise. But in faith, they embraced it. They realized that they were strangers and pilgrims in this land, in this world. But they embraced the great promise, the great hope, that one day they will see God come down on earth. Hallelujah. And he came down in the person of Jesus Christ. God came down, Emmanuel, God with us, and he dwelt among us. God always wanted to. And Jesus Christ came from the very right hand of God in the glory, where there was no sin, no sickness, no sorrow, and he came and dwelt on earth, and he bore my sin and your sin. He took the hellish burden of it down to the grave and buried it. And he rose again to prove the very fact that he's made you just. Not by our own righteousness, but by his mercy he saved us. Not by my great efforts to be a Christian, but only by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. God intends to put the whole creation right. Earth and heaven are going to be joined together. That's what we read. And everything is going to be right on earth. This is an amazing thing when you see all everybody running around in circles trying to put the earth right, whether it's the climate or the wars or the famine. God is going to do it. And he's going to bring it all together. He's got a great plan for this earth, but he's got a great plan for you and me individually to be there. And when we're in this earth with all its troubles, like these great saints of old, the thing that kept them was their hope in something better to come. That's what, you're saved by hope. This is not the end. The troubles that men and women are passing through, people must have hope. Or you can't go through with it. You'll fall. And that's why God permitted this great book to be written, that we might see that there's something beyond. We haven't actually got there yet, but there will be certainly. The promise will be fulfilled. Paul talks about the whole creation groans for this. All the world, and the people of God are groaning. Do you know that? It's unspeakable words. There's something in you that's groaning and travailing for something else to happen. And he talks about in Romans chapter 8, how it's not just you, it's all the cosmos. All the creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Isaiah writes this thousands of years ago, and it's worth reading if you have the time, read it. Isaiah chapter 11. Talks about the great coming again of God on earth. And he says, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the result of it is that the animals which fight each other now lie together. And there's no problem. There's peace on earth between creation and mankind. It's a wonderful chapter. Mind, initially, when Jesus comes on earth, it'll be a terrible, terrible time. Read Isaiah 13, where God will strike all his enemies and execute many. But he will bring justice on this earth, and hear the cry of the meek and the poor, and he'll come to the rescue of those who are trodden down. This book of Revelation is all about. It's God's victory in Christ. It is finished. When Jesus cried that on the cross, it is finished. He was talking about a new creation that he was about to bring. It is finished. Just like in the days of Genesis, where God had created the earth and said everything he had done was very good. And he says it's finished. And now Jesus Christ is bringing in a new creation through his great offering up of his body on that cross. That not only souls will be saved, not only that sins will be forgiven, not only that people will be put right in their hearts and their minds and their way of life, but the whole of creation is going to be renewed, a new heavens where old things pass away and all things become new. And the interim period that we're in now, the great expectation of God is the implementation of what he's done on the cross. So it's not a theory. It's not just in my head or your head. It's not just an education thing, but the implementation of it must be worked out. And that's why Paul says, God works in you both to will and to do, so you're comfortable in this life. Doesn't say that, does it? God is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, even if you need to go through suffering. And suffering is absolutely necessary, Jesus told us time and time again. And the result of suffering is always through the grace of God, where a man and a woman keeps his feet firmly and be faithful to God and overcomes. And the word, when we say overcomes, it doesn't mean to say you are successful. It just means that you still keep believing. No matter what is happening to you, you still will believe despite whatever seems contrary, because the promise of God is yes and amen. The drama is not so much that our souls being saved and going to heaven, but it's this, it's the reigning on earth under the authority of Christ in a new body. That is what God is intention. We will have a new body and we will reign with him on earth. That's why he says earlier, he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Not the arrogant, the meek shall inherit the earth. He taught us to pray in these terms, the will of the Father being done on earth as it is in heaven. The resurrection is a huge hope for us. And I see the time is ticking away. I'll just try and round it up. God intends to remake and to mend the earth not to abandon it. He will raise his people to a new body, a new bodily life to live in it. He will call them his bride. That is because we are absolutely one with him in perfect love. That's what he talks about in John 17. That's what his prayer is, in perfect love. It has to be implemented now, though. It is the consummation of all salvation. That is the great place of safety. One day, the veil shall be lifted at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus will personally be present, and every knee shall bow at his name. Creation is going to be renewed, and God's world will take place. I was just listening to the radio this morning, and there was a lovely hymn on it, and it says, "Let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King." It'll come. In every corner of this world, people are going to say, "My God and my King." And it goes on to say, "Let all the church of God must shout, no door can keep them out." Amen. Did you hear that this morning? I would love to sing it to you, but I know my limits. God bless you.